Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bring us in, babe.
Welcome to Coco Caliente. Well, last night's episode was my absolute favorite. I don't know why. It was just like, not because Chris and Brett got out, because we absolutely love and adore them. That has nothing to do with it. I think it was because it was living it and then watching it.
It was intense. Mm-hmm. It was so triumphant too, mm-hmm. you know, from where we started to where we finished. So it was definitely one of those nail biters for
us. Because, so we got to explain some stuff to you guys. So first off, we literally did not have a flight the night we went to bed. So when you see people like getting the flights and stuff, we went to bed without a flight.
So we didn't fly out the same day that we got our flights. Mm-hmm. Like when they're talking about, oh yeah, the flight gets there at 11 a.m. the next day, it's because you got your flight and then you went to the hotel, went to sleep, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you leave the next morning.
Yeah, so we didn't sleep that night. We were arguing because we were just kind of like, oh my gosh, like, what are we going to do? We're literally going to show up 3 hours after everybody else. We're out. And then so we woke up that morning. We had the coolest agent. She put us on standby. And it was a freaking miracle, you guys. Like, literally, we almost were dead in the water.
And the only way we can even get on this standby flight is if we were able to make the connecting flight. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that all those things came together, and there was limited spaces available. I mean, like, had everybody shown up for the flight,
We wouldn't have made it.
And we would have been out, you know, because
that
was
it. So people missed their flight that day, and it literally took us closer to trying to win $1 million and stay on the show.
Yeah.
It was like risky. I was like, Vic, do we just keep the flight that we have that's like 3 hours behind? Because maybe something can happen.
Which hindsight's 20/20, because had mm-hmm. we taken the normal flight, we would have been there
racing with
everybody else.
But we're just like, no, we got to risk it. And had we not got on and they said, nope, it's full, we would have been out.
Yeah.
And also the line thing. I hate watching that because, yeah. Of course, there's two freaking lines, Nicole. Like, get it together. They didn't cut. And they didn't cut. This is what happened. We were waiting in line behind the Afghanimals, and Team Fun was kind of going around, running around, trying to try different stations, okay? So we probably were waiting in line for like 25, 30 minutes while the Afghanimals are figuring out their flights. Meanwhile, the other line's like going through, demingling, like getting smaller and smaller, because that agent is, it's not race people. So they're just booking, you know, what they want. So then all of a sudden, like, Team Fun comes out of nowhere and they just step up. And I was thinking like, oh my God, Vic, like we gotta go to that line, because we had been waiting for so long and we were next. And so that's why it felt like they just kind of walked up and kind of just got the next spot.
If we could do it again, we would have just split ourselves up. It's like, hey, Nicole, even though that line might not be anything, just stand there for, you know, mm-hmm. safe measure, and then I'll stay over here.
Because we would have each just split up, because you have to stay like certain feet from each other. So it's not like one can be running around, but we could have definitely put one in each line. And that's what we should have done, but actually I'm glad we didn't because we would have been racing with great people for, I mean, those three teams that got on that flight, that's the cream of the crop right there.
It definitely, it was a saving grace. I mean, I would have liked to not have all the stress that we had and the tears.
Because we didn't really sleep that night either.
No.
We were like crying and we had been looking for a flight for like hours. And then we got up, the airport opened at 5 a.m. We probably got up at 3 a.m. and went to the airport and then just waited for a ticket agency to open. Remember?
Yeah.
So we got like no sleep and we were like angry at each other because I was like, Vic, you should have
stepped up. It's just a really tense time. And yeah, we went through it and it's all said and done now. So we can look back on it and kind of laugh and oh my gosh, you know, so happy that we got through that. But it was just so much more intense.
And they didn't cut. That's the thing. I was like, I just didn't know what to say. I just felt like so defeated. So I think I was like, it felt like they cut because we were clearly in line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just weird. It was just like a weird thing. But they didn't show us waiting in line for like a really long time.
And we didn't hold a grudge against Becca or Floyd or anything like that.
I apologize. I'm like, I'm sorry for saying you guys cut when you didn't cut. That's my emotional like whatever. Okay, so I just want to clear that up.
Yeah, that was one heck of a leg, though. And when we arrived in Greece and got to that first to deliver the drinks and everything, and we saw like how many clues were in there, and we're like, no way. Only two teams, the top two teams? Like, I was flabbergasted. And then when we crossed paths with Tyler and Corey at the little church to raise the gnome up, you know, with the bread, I was like, wow, we are on their heels.
They were shocked to see us.
Yeah, back from the dead.
Because you think all the teams were kind of like talking and they're just like, yeah, Nick and Vic didn't get a flight. And so you're just kind of like, oh man, this is going to be a nice chill leg. Like they're 3 hours behind us. And then when you see the team...
That you think is out,
like running with you, you're just like, oh crap.
Here we go. Yeah.
So it was my favorite leg, but it was just insane. Like I thought watching it back, it almost seems scripted, like, but it's absolutely not. This all happened to us. And it wasn't even like they had time to dwell on a lot of the, had it been like an episode of just our tragic day, they could have made hours and hours out of it because it was so insane.
And then another thing that I know people were asking me, it's like, you know, why if we left the tubing first, did we get to the Romans?
Oh, I was going to get to the question.
Second.
The question. That's a question, but yeah, you can answer it.
Well, I'll say it right now because we're in it. It's just a taxi. I mean, it's nothing specific. Mm-hmm. It's not that we got lost or anything. Some taxis are faster, take better routes, know better. You know, that's just if you're close with somebody, that's how the game goes. That's why it's nice to be ahead, like far ahead.
And we're not like ever in the taxi, like being like, go faster, screaming. We just never did that.
No, we're just like, hey, we're in a race. We got to get here fast. Here's the directions. We trust you. You know what I mean? That's kind of like the way we go.
And when you're in the taxi too, you think it's taking the other team just as long as you. You have no idea they took a different route or that they have a better taxi driver.
You're hoping that they're taking just as long as you.
Yeah. But when I got out, you could hear me say, that was so slow. Like, did you hear that on the show last night?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, when we got out to, for anybody who wants to, we literally got out of the taxi and I was like, that was so slow because I just knew that was so slow.
And we were only like, I'd say like 5, maybe 10 minutes behind. Tyler and Corey. So, but it happened to them in the beginning of the race. That's why they got to the first spot. You know, after Chris and Brett, even though they left at the same time. Speaking of which, now we're gonna have Chris. Why I keep saying Chris?
I don't know.
Now we're gonna have Brett LaBelle on the show. I really hope you guys enjoy. He's a funny guy. We love him so much. Mm-hmm. Anyway, enjoy. We really love to race with him. He's part of the bromance duo, the cop and the lawyer. He's the cop side of it. Saj. Brett LaBelle, thank you so much for being with us on Coco Caliente.
Bring us in, babe.
That's funny.
Bring us in, babe. No, listen, I love you guys. I'm so excited to be on Coco Caliente. This is fun. I've been listening to you guys all season, and it's been a lot of fun, and especially because I know you guys, so it's for me, it's really cool. And Man, what a trip we had together, huh?
Yeah.
I know.
I felt so bad for you guys last night watching the episode, in Croatia.
We were like dead in the water though. So you guys knew we couldn't get a flight. You had finished. This is one of the first legs that actually finishing in the first, couple meant something. Cause usually the flights are like kind of pre-booked, and here you guys are second place, got the best flight. And were you thinking like, oh my God, Nick and Vic are like done for? Did you know we couldn't get a flight?
No. So the funny thing was, I barely remember that because we were kind of like there and gone. So I vaguely remember that. But no, I kind of had a feel like you guys always seem to find a way. So I wasn't really worried about you. I still was worried about us because, even though we were looking really good and we got on that first flight, it was still... We just never, every leg was a little different for us. You know what I mean? And we were definitely getting some good legs under our wings. So we were really confident and we were feeling really good about ourselves. But I think I was too worried about myself at that point. You know how it is. Every leg is nerve wracking, you know?
Oh, for sure. And I think it was easier for us who never raced before to like just assume we're not as good as them. Like that was in my head all the time. Like, we're just not as good. And hey, like getting second was like getting first to me. Cause I see a lot of people commenting like, oh, get a first. I'm like, dude, I'm so happy with freaking second. Like, you know what I mean? Is that how you felt too? Like second was awesome.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I mean, Nick, first of all, I love to call you guys Nick and Vic. I just love it. That's all people go, oh my God, you know Nicole and Victor? I'm like, oh, Nick and Vic, yeah, we go away. for the listeners, I absolutely adore these two. We had more laughs and more fun. And I'll tell you, the one thing I love about Nicole is Victor, we've met before at Hot's Reality, but we didn't. Like, you were kind of in your big brother clique. I was in my survivor clique. We might get high a couple times, but we really didn't get to know each other until I got to know these two really well on the race. Nicole gets all my jokes, which is great. Like she laughs at all my jokes. I'm like, oh, I like this woman. She's awesome. But you guys are absolutely right. Like, you know, being non-racers, we went in at a way. Like, I feel bad for those teams that went out early. Corinne, Eliza, Rupert, because we were all of us, Big Brother and Survivor people, we were at a disadvantage going in. Mm-hmm. If you, the thing I learned about the race, and you, I'm sure you guys did too, is it's a learning curve. Once you kind of get into it, you kind of get it more. I can't even explain what it is, but if you come in and you've already had, one, two seasons under your belt, you're going to crush us. And for our two teams to stay in as long as we did, a little luck, don't get me wrong, but it was, you had to pick something up along the way. So,
For sure. I agree. Like even the first, like had we gotten out in Tokyo, I would have understood, like, we didn't know what we were doing and wow, like this is really hard, but we wouldn't have had like what, six legs, seven legs to get like used to it. And then once you start getting used to it and you get confident, that's almost everything in the race.
Yeah. And on another layer on top of that, like if you're just barely surviving each leg, your confidence isn't going anywhere. So there's teams that, if you're on the bottom of the totem pole and you're just barely getting by each time, you're like, man, I don't know if I can do this. But once you get, second place or third place and you're up there in the upper half, you're kind of like, all right, I'm doing something right. You know what I mean? Like I can hang with these guys, especially if you beat one of the race teams, you're like, oh, okay. something's clicking.
So, Victor, you've been smelling good lately. What's your secret?
I stole your secret.
Scentbird.
I love using the... What I like about Scentbird, and I know you're going to explain what it is in a second, it's just like those little... I like having a bunch of little travel size spray.
Yeah, there's like 120 in each bottle, but they're so little.
120 sprays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's cool because it's like a little travel size and you get to try out different scents. Anyway, tell them what it is.
So Scentbird is where you can pick like five or six perfumes or colognes and get them delivered to your door. What they are is a really expensive brand. So it's really hard for me in the store to try to smell like perfume when you're spraying like four of them. or five of them. And, yeah. and you're spraying them on a piece of paper. Here, they get delivered to your door in tiny, like, trial sizes, and you can wear them and see if you like them without buying the $120 bottle that it would cost you at, like, Macy's or something.
Yeah, they have Gucci, Prada, Dolce & Gabbana. They have all those.
They have so many different kinds. I fell in love with the Glossier, and I'm not even, like, a perfume person, so that's why I was like, I really want a scent, but I don't want to smell like Overtaken. So I tried five different ones and I fell in love with like three of them, and I bought the bigger bottle, but I got to make sure I really liked them first. And now I get compliments all the time.
Yeah. You didn't have to spend like $400 or $500
like testing and being like, well, I'm never going to use this. I don't really like it. I thought I did. So if you guys are interested in trying, there's a really good deal for our listeners. If you go to scentbird.com/Coco and use the code Coco for 50% off your first month, you will get your first fragrance for $7.50.
Oh, wow.
So you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50. Again, that's Scentbird, scentbird.com/Coco for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing.
But before we get into this whole episode, you know, your last episode, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Let's go back to pre-reality TV. How did Brett LaBelle, even the cop, even get into Survivor? Were you always a fan? Like, tell us about that.
Nick and Vic, are you doing a deep dive into Brett LaBelle right now? Am I going to be crying at the end of this?
We're going to touch on all your emotions here.
All right. So, I was not really a fan of let's just say this. The first real reality show I think that I can remember was the one on MTV, the foolish one where everyone was living in the house. I can't think.
Oh, Real World.
Real World, yeah. So, and I never really got into that.
Foolish then, one.
Survivor came on, and I remember I was working midnights at the police department, and a lot of guys were watching it, and we were kind of hanging around the break room, and people were like, oh, did you know this new show, you know, they strand people on an island. I'm looking at them going, I go, oh, is that reality show? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I don't watch that. I go, reality TV is ruining America, you know. I had this real like, I wasn't into it, right? So I didn't watch Witch at Hatch win. I didn't watch all that epic stuff. I did later on, but
so this is, you're talking about like the first Survivor ever in history?
Oh yeah, I'm talking about the first season. So
wow.
Yeah. So I go skiing with my family up in New Hampshire, which is only a couple hours away for those folks who don't know Massachusetts very well. But and we go up and we'd stay a weekend usually every winter, you know. So my brothers, it was Super Bowl weekend, and Survivor was smart enough to decide we're going to air the second season of Survivor. The premiere is going to be on after the Super Bowl on CBS. Wow. So we watched the Super Bowl, and then my brother's like, oh, we got to watch this show. And I said, I'm not watching that stupid show. That's ruining America. So he's like, no, it's really good. You didn't watch it? I go, no. He goes, we got to watch it. So everyone wanted to watch it. So I sat there, and it was Tina Wesson, Colby, all those guys in the second season of Survivor Australia Outback. And I was hooked. On the first episode, I said, oh, my God, I could play this game. I socially could totally win this game. I just was like, I could tell mistakes people were making with things they said. I was like, oh my God, I'm all about this. While that season's airing, Survivor did open auditions at the Prudential Mall in Boston, right on Boylston Street, not far from where the marathon ends. And they said, so it was huge news. And, and three guys from work, who I'm still friends with today, we said, hey, let's go and apply. So we waited in line for hours. I'm telling you, hours. This is the second season of Survivor. It was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And we waited for hours. We get through there. I think I ripped my shirt off, screamed into the thing. But I had no idea what I was doing. So I just would every time they would come and do an open audition, whether it was here or at Foxwoods, which is in Connecticut, it's a casino not far from here. And I would just go anywhere they were near. I would just go and do it. And I probably did about 7 or 8 times. I think I maybe sent in one video, you know, but I don't think it was good at all. I didn't really know what I was doing with the video.
As long as it wasn't eating the poop.
Oh my Wasn't that horrible?
At least it worked. If it didn't, that'd be really bad.
I know. That's crazy. So, but I rode with a guy, my buddy Mike. We rode together. We're partners, and we rode together for years. And when you ride with someone four nights a week in a car in the police department, you really get to know them. So something came up about Savard, or I said I was going to a open casting call or something, and you know, his head snaps around. He goes, what is this? You know, so of course I tell him, and once we get back, I think a couple of days later, we're in the break room, and Survivor was actually on. Someone was watching it, and he's like, oh yeah, LaBelle tried out for this. So all of a sudden, they're all on top of me. Wait a minute, what? They want to know all about it. So then, you know, they started making fun of me. So they came to a town right next door for an open audition, and a guy, at work sends me a link he finds on Facebook as a joke. They're all making fun of me. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go and apply. So I went, I did an open audition, and they called me 3 weeks later.
Oh, so that was the time you got on.
Yeah.
It was when they were making fun of you.
They love to make fun of me here. They love to make fun of me.
What season and year was that? I forget.
So, well, I was on season 33, 2016, okay. Which aired in fall of 2016. But I was trying out. What they called me for was Blood versus Water, but oh. I couldn't get a loved one. And then, they gave it to Jeremy and Val, who are actually good friends of mine now. He's a Cambridge firefighter, and she's a cop also in Foxborough. And we've become really good friends. He's actually, you know, he's been on a couple more times after that. So, I went through the cast. They called me. We had long conversations. I never heard from them. I called them like three times. I was like, hey, I'm not going to chase you. If you're interested in me, here's where I am.
No more applying.
Yeah. And then 3 years later, they called me back and they said, hey, are you still interested? And I said, am I still interested? I said, yeah, I'm watching Jeremy the firefighter who took my spot on Blood vs. Water on his second season about to win it. Yeah, I'm interested. Sign me up. And then that was history.
Awesome.
That is crazy.
And that's when you met Chris and everything. So it was meant to be that season.
That's when Chris Hammonds fell in love.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool. So how did it feel? I mean, being a cop in New York and then coming off of Survivor and being, you know, a quote unquote, you know, celebrity in your town, in your area. Like, mm-hmm. what was that like? I mean, it's different for everybody, you know?
Vic, bite your tongue there. New York.
Oh, Boston. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. You just picked the worst rivalry ever. No,
my bad.
No, I'm just teasing. Yeah, no, I mean, it was cool. Like, at first they didn't, like, listen, police officers are very, you know, we don't like cameras. We don't like, you know, whatever. So everyone's a little skeptical. They're kind of looking at me weird. But I think I went out on Survivor and I didn't embarrass the department. I didn't do anything stupid. They were able to laugh at me and they had a lot of fun with it. And I got a lot of support.
That's
from
awesome.
The guys, from the commissioner. I mean, listen, it's nerve wracking. In the time that I went on, you know, they were just a little worried that, you know, but I've also been a police officer a long time. I grew up in Boston, so I know what to say, what not to say. And it all went really well. And I got a lot of support from, you know, the city councilors, the mayor.
That's cool.
It's been really cool. It's been really cool. And so when, you know, not to get ahead, but just to preface this a little bit, is when the race called, they were like, oh, yeah, no, you're all set. Like, I went to the commissioner's office, like, oh, no, go have fun, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
I had used my vacation time. They didn't just give me the time to go, but he said, no, you're good. You did a great job in the last one. So, the support's been unbelievable, not only from the people in Boston, but the fans across the country, really, really kind. Even after last night, after that tragic loss, both for the for the Bruins and for me, but, I mean, me and Chris and I took it hard that day, but you know, I mean, you look, we can get into that later, but support has been unbelievable. I'm flattered by it. I'm shocked by it. And it's been really cool.
That's awesome. And then so like you said, you get the call to do Amazing Race. And did your heart drop that you get to do this with Chris, like your bro?
Yeah. So Chris, we get called, like you guys get called. And then they put us on hold. They weren't, I think, and I don't even know how much of production we could talk about, but let's just say we went on hold.
Yeah.
And then but we were, you know, we were excited to do it. Chris and I have, you know, we met on Survivor. We built the shelter like the first day. We made a connection. We bonded, and it was so important to get us for as far as we got in the game. And we became really good friends. I've gone down to Oklahoma several times. He throws a big party for an OU game. I go every year. I love it now. Huge OU fan, which is Oklahoma University. And well, I didn't know.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly didn't know what it was, so thank you.
I didn't know until I met that big ginger. You know what I mean? And Chris is a local hero down there. He really is. It's really impressive.
He was like he was part of like a championship team, and he was a captain and all that back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, Oklahoma doesn't have an NFL team, so their big team is OU. And man, I'll tell you, if you go there, they have 20,000 more seats than Gillette Stadium for the Patriots.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's nuts. It's nuts. It's just such an experience to go down there. And when you walk around and everyone knows, not only do they know him from Survivor, they know him from the championship team. They know him because he brought a championship home, and they love him. And so, like we were on the field, and so we ran out with the team. Every time I've gone there, Chris gets us running out with the team. And Toby Keith come walking up, shook Chris's head. And I'm a huge country guy. I love Toby Keith. I've been a huge Toby Keith fan for many, many years. So Chris was like, oh, you might see him. Sometimes he's on the field. I didn't know he knew Chris. I was shocked. So that was really cool. Chris, I love his family. His kids are wonderful. His wife, I've really gotten to know them. They've come up to Boston to watch Red Sox game. Chris and I have traveled a lot for stuff, so we've really become good friends. So it was a no brainer when they called me and said, "Hey, would you be interested in doing the race with Chris Hammonds?" I go, "Sign me up. I'm in." And you know, seeing Chris compete, I knew I needed to bring up the game a little bit because he is one hell of a competitor. And if you've never seen him in action, you're missing out. And he's just unbelievable.
So I'm a huge proponent of getting in shape, getting fit, not only for your physical self, but for your mental self. Right?
Okay, so, and I am now on the bandwagon of, I never really cared about getting the perfect body because it's just, I like food and working out is kind of hard for me, but, for my mental stability and sake, I have been doing Open Fit as well.
Yes. And for those of you who don't know, Open Fit is basically an online streaming service that has just a library of amazing trainers and classes. Super simple, and you can access it anywhere and anytime, like on your TV or your web-enabled TV or like your phone or computer, whatever. And it just has so many different workouts, which Nicole's doing right now.
I actually really love Extend Bar. I've always loved bar, but this is something that I think anyone would love because you don't even need a bar at home. It's with Andrea Rogers. She's super cute and she's fun and she's like uplifting. And I do it in my house. I do it literally from my computer screen. And I feel it's only 30 minutes, which is what I love because they tell me for me to have more clearer mind and reduce anxiety, I just need to do 30 minutes a day. Well, I'm doing just 30 minutes a day and I'm loving it.
Yeah. And you literally, you can lose up to 15 pounds. In just the first 30 days, you can flatten your abs, shape your body, look and feel great.
Well, depending on, whatever your goals are. For me, it's just like I want to feel better and I want to sweat.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So it has different classes for different goals.
Yeah.
And then something that they're letting you do right now during the Open Fit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners can get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to Open Fit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text COCO to 303030.
Nice.
Again, that is a free 30-day trial membership to Open Fit. All you got to do is text COCO to 303030. Give it a try. You know, hindsight's always 20/20, and Nicole and I had wished we had been in shape, in exercising 24/7. Is it a little bit the same for you? Did it feel like he was always carrying your backpack, or?
Oh my god!
Sorry, I just got to throw that out there.
Yeah, you know? No, listen, So I, again, I didn't, we didn't have a lot of time to prepare.
Yeah. Yeah. We only had like 5 days, 4 days, yeah, something so like that.
We both
understand. Had the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
For Survivor, I had 6 months to train, swim, all that stuff. So I knew, they didn't tell me that I was definitely going 6 months out, but I was going through serious process and I was like, yeah. Ooh, this is looking really good. Let me work out, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt like much more in shape on Survivor. I definitely was not prepared to go out and do the race. And I mean, I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. It's crazy. Episode. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's crazy. And, it does take a little toll on you, but I, when I gave him the bag that time, and I think Nick, I was dying.
And me too.
Well, and
I wanted to walk.
And what people don't realize is that was in Vietnam or Laos. I think
Vietnam.
That was Vietnam. The humidity is unreal.
Well, and we got lost and we were running miles without directions.
Yeah, we all followed Colin for about half a mile until we realized we're all going the wrong way. And then we had to run the right way. So, yeah.
And it kind of, for me, it feels like when I'm running against someone that I know is like fast, that's already defeating. Like, I'm just going to stall a little bit right here and catch my breath because I can't pass them and I don't want to pass out. So.
Like same thing in Switzerland, same deal, hopping off the train to run trek, I don't know, 3 kilometers.
Oh, and then the hill, where were we? Switzerland, when we were running to Phil up that hill, like.
For no reason, because everybody just got there and had to wait anyway.
And no.
I was out in front in the beginning.
Yeah, when we got to Phil, yeah. We just got there and it's like, all right, now you can just wait here for everybody.
Yeah, that made me mad. I was like, we didn't even need to run. And the funny thing was, I come out the gate in front and I was at a watch party and I go, there's Brett LaBelle out in front. Don't worry. but going back to Vietnam for a minute, like that, you have to remember that's the leg where we the night before we'd come in last.
Oh yeah.
And we thought we were eliminated. So like, and this is Chris's tenacity. He was like, we're not getting eliminated. Give me that thing. We're going to get there. And, mm-hmm. and we just ran it out and I was dying. And I know Nick, you were too. That was a long run.
Yeah.
But that was a run that we needed to do because it was a race to the finish.
Yeah. 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 So that it was pretty crazy. So how do you feel like, I guess we can get into the episode now. You, at this point, you guys are doing really well, going into Croatia. You guys
are in first, right?
Basically,
not only were we in first, we were on the same plane as Tyler and Corey, who they've won 3 legs at this point. Mm-hmm. And we blew past them. We got to the first roadblock where we had to give out the drinks by the time we get to the beach, it was a while before they showed up. So we were so far ahead. If we had just, this is again what.
How did you get ahead? Just the taxi drive?
Good taxi drive. Had to be because we left the airport at the same time.
Isn't it crazy how well that works sometimes, or how against you it can work sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to talk to them to find out what took them so long because it was crazy. I get to the beach and literally the first is everyone just really good looking in Croatia or?
I don't know. I didn't even have time to look. I was panicking carrying that tray because I'm clumsy.
I was just looking at how beautiful the beach and that area was. I mean, I would never think to go to, Croatia for, a summer vacation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Well, I was literally going to say, Chris, you handle the rest of this leg. I'm staying here with these guys. But we literally come down the stairs and it was like, boom, because we're the first ones there. So we hit the first gnome, and off we went. And, the worst mistake, and unfortunately I had to watch it back because I don't remember this, was I said, let's do the snorkeling. But we snorkeled before. Why wouldn't we do the snorkeling?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think again, because it's our first time racing, I think if you watch how many, experienced racers came and went, they realized what was going on. And I think what scared us about the poem, and you guys can attest to this as well, is that was the first thing I can, you guys did memorization before when you were going up the tram thing.
Yeah. Okay.
We had done no memorization. And I think that scared us a little bit because we thought one of us had to memorize that entire thing.
Right.
Mm.
We did not, it did not even dawn on us. And I think that if we stuck around and got in the queue and listened to, oh, wait a minute, they're splitting it up. Because when we finally went back the second time to that, we noticed Jamal and Leo were doing half and half. And we're like, Chris, we only have to remember half of this thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, so when you guys went there the first time, who was memorizing the whole thing?
I guess I was. We both were. We both yeah. were.
So, oh, you tried this time.
And so we were just like, we're never going to memorize that in time. That's important. Yeah. We never even dawned on us to do half and half. And I think if we had figured that out, we would have been long gone by the time Colin and Christy went back for their no. You know what I mean?
As I was watching the show last night, I had a question. Were the coins closer to the buoys or were they closer to the shore or were those buoys? Cause they kept circling the buoys on the show, like highlighting like where they should be. So I didn't know if that was something that like, were you guys like floating out there and looking and then just coming back to shore or how that worked?
We found most of our stuff close to the shore, but I agree with you watching that last night. They alluded to the fact that they had to be in between the buoys. I'm telling you right now, those things were impossible to find.
Yeah.
And I'm not, listen, you got to make hard challenges. I applaud hard challenges. That was an extremely hard challenge. It's a fact that Colin and Christy couldn't find any.
Right.
I mean, yeah. The minute those two didn't find any, we should have said, all right, let's go. We're done with this. But I think what sucked us in is we found three coins.
Yeah.
We had the cup, and now we just need two. So it's like, yeah. You can go over there and try to memorize something or find two coins and get the hell out of here. It like right. sucked us in. If we had one coin in the chalice, I think we would have said, listen, we have one coin. We got to find four coins and people are running through us. I think it was because we were almost there. We just needed two coins and we were gone.
Yeah.
Sure. And I think we're just like, do we start scratch? What do we do? And it was just horrible. And then the water was so cold. Chris was legit getting hypothermic. You know,
oh.
I mean, I'm used to cold water up in, you know, we go in the ocean up in, even in the summer, it's cold. So I was fine in the water, but Chris, he literally wasn't making sense after a while. I'm like, all right, we're going to go. Let's go over here. You know what I mean? So, and you know, if that guy falls, I can't carry him. He's too big. You know what I mean?
So I guess I have questions about that, detour. Is it the detour, right?
I think it's a detour. Yeah.
Who knows what it is?
Yeah.
I'll be back on Survivor.
So, okay. The detour, was it, I'm so fascinated by it because I didn't have to do it. So when you have the snorkeling thing, wouldn't the water come in your mouth? Like why is there a snorkeling thing if you're like diving deep?
Nick, that's an excellent question. I have to refer you to production, but no, I agree with you. I mean, because you had to dive, so I guess the snorkel, so you could kind of hover and look at.
Yeah.
But you had the stupid.
Did it vibrate when you got close to something, yeah, or did it make a noise?
There was a lot of metal down there. There's a great scene where I pull up a spark plug and I go, well, I found a spark plug to a 1965 Mustang. That's about it. I was praying that made it because it had the whole production team laughing. But, you know, I think
it was going off a lot. Your metal detector?
Yeah, it was going off a lot. And then I guess maybe you're supposed to dig. Listen.
Oh, my gosh. That's so hard. And then when you dug, all the dirt was flying, so you can't see anything.
It was so hard. And,
oh, my
and
God.
We shouldn't have done it. We should have. But again, we literally thought, I think that we just, if we'd had a memorization thing earlier where I think that we had walked through and learned that we could do half and half, you know, I think we just assumed we had to do it. Like one person had to do the whole thing. I don't know why. Maybe we were cold and tired and just.
No, I understand completely. If I had found three coins, there's no way I would switch. I'd be like, just two more. We're over halfway there. We're ahead still. No one's here. We got all the coins to ourselves. It would be very hard for me to switch and go and like switching a detour. And you just feel like you're starting from absolute scratch. When I watched you guys switch, I was like, oh my God, I hope they get to keep their three coins, which you did, right? You got to keep the three you already found?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank God. Because otherwise, starting back from scratch with zero coins, I didn't know how that worked.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, absolutely. No, you can, the coins that you found, would stay there. You didn't have to start from scratch. Otherwise, we would have just turned around. We wouldn't have started from scratch.
And those detours, they're made to be like even, right? That's how they're supposed to make them, right? So one would be equally as taxing as the other. But this showed that sometimes, although it's supposed to be, it doesn't work out that way. And it reminds me of kind of like when we were doing the basket rowing versus the creating the water.
I'm so happy we didn't do that water wheel.
Water wheel, because no way. You know what I mean? Like, no
way. But had you had two little girls, like me and Brittany, say we're partners, we could never have lifted that basket over the bridge. There's one detour I feel like that's like better for you as a group. I think that's how you're supposed to figure it out. But I think, yeah, in general, if you're just both good at both things, it should take the same time. But I would have been sucking in water with that snorkeling thing. I would have never been able.
Yeah, Nicole would have just been up there with the gnome just waiting. I would have.
And I think that the rowing thing just made better TV too.
that
was the leg in Vietnam where we said we're just gonna have fun. We were like, we came in last, we're this is not the show for us, let's just have fun today. And we did, and we had a blast, and we came in we came in really well. I think like third or fourth or something like that.
Yeah. And so you guys finally, you know, it was hard to watch. I'll be honest, watching you switch and then switch back and then switch again. But it's the decisions you make in the moment, and nobody can tell you otherwise that they would do something different because they're not there. So
yeah,
that's just one of those things about being in the race. So at what point, like, you leave there and you do the Romans things, like, what do you guys, what's running through your mind at that point? Like,
well, it's funny because I think production did this, but someone left two bathing suits on the thing in there that weren't used. And we're like, well, wait a minute. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So we're like, maybe we're not last. So they do stuff like that.
You didn't see us at all, did you?
I don't think we did. No, because we were probably still over. And then we didn't see Team Fun either much. And so we're like, listen, let's just keep going. And at this point, what are you going to do? You got to just race around. Mm-hmm. And so we get there, and I crushed that one. I completely crushed it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, in fact, they were like, how did you do that so fast?
That's awesome.
Attention to detail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but that hurt. Me and Chris were just like shaking our heads, like, because it's like, wow, all we needed to do is get past that nonsense.
And why we got this so fast.
We would have been through that too. So, this is a game of strengths and weaknesses, you know, and I think just being new to the race, we just didn't, you know, I think if we had said, okay, wait a minute, you memorize this part, I memorize that part, we would have gone through that six times and been gone. I would have crushed the thing with the Legionnaires, and you know, it's just one mistake, you know.
Oh, I know.
And just not knowing something, it's like, it's a learning curve. If I ever go back on the race again, I know to, if we do a memorization thing, we only have to memorize half. That's huge. That takes so much pressure away from you. You know, looking at that, when you look at that whole poem and they show it, it terrifies you. Like, I can't remember that in the next, you know.
Even when we rode through it one time and got off, I was like, no way are we gonna memorize this even together. It is, and I can't imagine thinking that you got to do it all by yourself. That'd be nerve-wracking.
It was. Did I tell you guys I love those kitchen floors right there?
Oh, thank you.
Our tile
Is that tile? Oh my god, it looks so cool.
It's tile. Yeah,
I see it in your Instagram story all the time. I'm like, oh my god. Love that flooring.
Thanks.
So Brett, what's the big takeaway for you, you know, doing this, and would you do it again? You know what I mean?
My god. I really had a lot of fun. I met some wonderful people like yourselves, Nick and Vic. Love you too. Colin and Chris. I met so many good people, Tyler and Corey, everyone, you know? Yeah. Brittany and Janelle. Oh my god, is Brittany the funniest person you've ever met.
She's funny.
Oh my god, she cracks me up. But no, I just like everyone. I love Corinne and Eliza. Like Corinne's been a big supporter of me since Survivor. So, like, I love all these people, and I would absolutely do it again. I absolutely do it again. And the takeaway is, listen, Yeah, we had a tough leg, right? And it was in a time when we needed a win, and we didn't do it. And, you know, I think, you know, chalk it up to being brand new to the race. But I think, you know, I'm proud of what we did and the support that we get from people. And, you know, everyone seemed to have as much fun as we were having out there watching mm-hmm. it. And that to me is the best, you know?
I loved watching you guys on the show. I loved being around you guys on the show. It made it feel like it wasn't so serious, but yet, like, you know, you guys were so like down to earth and humble, but yet you guys would come out and do really well. So we loved having that.
Yeah.
You guys on. And then I loved watching you guys. And last night, my brother's like, I love them. They're my favorite, you know,
because yeah, so
you're
funny.
So fun to watch. And it's so relatable. And then you guys have your little like banter, but it's like, it's like funny. You guys are. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like Nicole said, just aside from that, just on that downtime that we had, you know, all those mm-hmm. hours in the airports and just being able to just sit down and chit chat and laugh and
that
just,
was the time I loved, man.
Yeah, like me too.
Like once the cameras are rolling, you could talk. I don't think people realize, like, well, did you get to hang out? I'm like, oh my God, we'd sit in the airport for hours and just shoot. Yeah. This, you know, I don't want to get it. I'm not going to say the S word because I don't want to
just make this episode like explicit. Oh, the disclaimer.
actually, I want a disclaimer. I'm just kidding. No, but no, like that's the stuff I love. Like just getting to know everybody and mm-hmm. laughing and Nicole, you guys were wonderful too. Like just like we always kind of would gravitate towards, you always gravitate
yeah.
towards
yeah.
we did
hang yeah. out and, uh-huh. You know, and Chris, you know, and I think the banter between me and Chris is real. Anyone that knows us yeah. knows that like, that's what we do. We, you know, bust them on each other and have a lot of laughs. And I'm glad that they showed that on the race. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Me too.
They kind of like Survivor didn't get that because we did the same thing on Survivor and they just didn't show it. And as you guys know, that's sometimes what you deal with reality TV. So I was really excited when, I think when I started to realize, oh, we're getting the funny edit here. This is yeah. So I was happy about that. So I loved it. I would totally do it again. I know you guys would. I mean, you guys had as much fun as we did out there. I just, you know, I know it. And yeah. one of my favorite times was having dinner outside in Switzerland.
That was nice. You had a nice beer too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And just to relax and look around at the beauty of where you were in this mm-hmm. little town with this beautiful train going. It was just crazy. And then we all just kind of relaxed. Like that's the first yeah. time I really got to talk to Alyssa, right? A lot of people go, well, I said, they just didn't have anything to do with us. They didn't want, we weren't, you know, and I would talk to anyone, you know, and I'm not, I mean, I met them later and things were different, but, you know, I think that a lot of us like that night, you know, kind of just relaxed and had a lot of fun. And that's a night I won't forget. That was a lot.
I remember those nights too. And then we were able to order like dessert.
The only thing I didn't like that I remember very vividly was the mosquitoes.
The flies
or mosquitoes, whatever it was. They joined us for dinner that night.
Yeah, there was a lot of flies.
So I have been searching for a really good deodorant that's all natural and vegan and something that's good for my body. And I've tried a couple and my favorite is Myro. And now Victor is also using it too.
Yeah, it's actually really nice. It's like they're changing the game in terms of like mm-hmm. how deodorants come. And this is like it's just nice because it's reusable in the sense of you get like this little deodorant packet.
Yeah,
right?
You have to pick from 5 colors of a container, and there's also 5 different scents. They're unisex, so this would have been perfect for Victor and I on the race because I made him go with like a girl deodorant.
Yes.
Where we would just take one of these Myro deodorants, and it's unisex. Mm-hmm. And so the scents, there's scents you can choose from.
So,
and why I love it so much too, I'm sorry I'm like over talking
you, excited.
But I just like love it, is because it reduces... it helps the planet. It reduces waste of plastic by 50% because they're not sending you a whole entire like plastic deodorant every time. It's a refill. You put it yeah. in yourself.
Mm-hmm. And they have, so I have the Big Dipper scent, but they have Big Dipper, Pillow Talk, Solar Flare, Chill Wave, and Cabin Number 5.
Yeah. So they're not just like basic, like powder fresh scents, which I don't, mm-hmm. I don't like powder fresh. So these like make you, it almost makes you smell like you're wearing like kind of like cologne too, Vic, like
yeah.
a good scent and it's good for your body. body.
They're aloe-based, the formula is. So it's like soothing, comfortable mm-hmm. glide, bacteria neutralizing citrus and probiotics. Mm-hmm. And it smells really awesome, honestly.
They're vegan, gluten-free, soy-free, cruelty-free. And I just love how much it helps the planet. And there's different colors that you can pick. Vic, yours is royal. So yours is like the color royal. Mm-hmm. But after 30 days, you'll receive a 3 deodorant pod refill every 3 months, delivered straight to your door. Convenient. You can put that on pause. You can stop. You can do whatever you need to do while doing it. And we have a really special offer. So they're saying that you can get a $10 starter kit for 30 days. We can give that to you for $5.
Yeah, 50% off if you use our code. So you get 50% off your first order and get started today for just $5. Just visit mymyro.com/Coco and use promo code Coco.
Tell us how much you love this stuff. Let's help the planet. And I mean, we can share deodorant with your significant other.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Again, that's so 50% off your first order. Get started today for just $5. Visit mymyro.com/Coco and use promo code Coco.
And Myro is spelled MYRO, just in case, because I wouldn't know how to spell it.
All right. So Brett, I want to do something with you. We do a segment. It's called Weird or Normal, right? And okay. Somebody messaged me.
I picked the wrong guy for that.
No, I think this
someone
is interesting.
Messaged you?
Somebody messaged and said, you know, this is something my husband does, right? Okay. So is it weird or normal to put deodorant on after you have showered for the night?
It's normal.
I think that's a little weird.
I've done it, all right? But I'll say this, I tend not to. Like, I think you should go to bed, you know.
And, yeah, you know, completely.
Get away from it. Yeah.
Oh, so without the deodorant?
Yeah. I think it's a little weird. I think it's a little weird to put deodorant on. Just because you're already cleansed and cleaned your body, you know. Right.
Okay.
Unless you anticipate sweating somehow and then going to bed, which would be kind of nasty, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's just, I think you should go to bed. If you showered, you shouldn't put it on and go to bed, relax. You know what I mean?
And then put it on when you wake up.
Yeah.
Well, no. But that's the thing now. But is he going to shower again in the morning?
I don't think he's showering in the morning, is he?
Well, it doesn't matter. I feel like you can just wake up and put deodorant on as you're getting ready for your day. And you know, I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah, I know. That's true. You could still get up and put deodorant on. It'll still work, even though you showered last night. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Now you change the facts. I got to change the answer. So if you're not showering in the morning and you're showering at night, maybe you should put it on.
I put a deodorant on after I shower, no matter what time of day it is. It's just like a routine.
Thing is, okay, for me, I think about like, let's say I shower and I put mm-hmm. deodorant on and then I like don't have a shirt on in my bed and I grab the blanket under my arm and now I have that deodorant shit. Sorry, deodorant stuff
explicit, on my explicit.
But now I have that on my blanket or if I grab the pillow, it's like, I don't want anything to have like my deodorant residue in the bed that I sleep in.
I totally hear you there. I think if you're going to bed, you're better off going au naturel. You
know? Yeah.
Like that's I don't have the deodorant on. You know?
Yeah, like who are you trying to impress while you're sleeping? You know what I mean?
A wife or a significant other probably doesn't want to smell that either. You know what I mean? So I think it just depends. And then but everyone has their own little habits, you know? That's what's interesting about life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the okay. This would be really weird.
Is that Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
Yes, I love my Dunkies.
Every time I see Dunkin' Donuts, I think of you. That was something that you would say on the show all the time.
I just kept hoping that there'd be one at somewhere. Yeah,
the thing is, even if there was, Brett, could we really afford it? You know, like
no.
I afforded Starbucks once, and it was the tiniest.
Like, yeah, it was expensive,
and we barely afforded it.
We might have had a discussion about it.
Well, the camera guys kept screwing with me. They'd be like, "Hey, Brett, we saw Dunkies in Vietnam." I go, "Is it close to the hotel? Go get it for me." You know, they laugh and they make fun of me. But aww. I love my Dunkies. Yeah,
yeah, you do. Yeah.
I was gonna say, what would be really weird is if you put perfume on. After you shower.
Perfume and deodorant are... So I put lotion on after going into the bed, like...
Well, that's normal.
it puts the lotion on its skin. I wouldn't put lotion. I don't think I would put lotion on going to bed. Like I don't want to. Like
you said, weird. You guys just go like bare skin.
Well, I don't want to screw up. You know, you know, like you said, you don't want to get anything over the blankets and the sheets.
Yeah,
sheet.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like if I put lotion on, I got to wait for it to dry to get in the bed. I can't just put it on and just hop in bed.
Oh, I'll hop in.
You know what I mean? Because then, like, if it's still there and you put the blanket on, you get a little warm. It'll start like getting like stick out.
No, I like when I get lotion on my robes, towels, blankets because it smells freaking good.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a, you know what I mean? You must have nice smelling lotion. We just have that regular.
Oh yeah, I have nice smelling lotion for sure.
Yeah,
I don't love spell. It's good.
She goes like, "What's that play? Victoria's Secret or Bed Bath and Beyond or something?" Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly.
but yeah, but anyway, thank you, Brett.
Wait, do you have Brett? Do you have your own? You have your own podcast called?
Oh yeah,
what's it called?
Yeah.
Drunk in the Tank.
I do. I have.
Oh, I just broke something in the house.
Okay.
Oh boy. myself and a guy from work, Larry, another gay cop, we do a podcast called In the Drunk Tank with Brett and Larry. And the Drunk Tank is an old term. Like Boston's the oldest police department in the nation. We formed 1857. So we thought using an old police term was kind of cool. So it's not really like we're not sitting here. Well, we do have a couple beers, but people seem to like it. It's not about anything. We like to tell stories. We like to we talk a little bit about the race. We talk a little about Survivor. Larry likes Lisa Vanderpump, so we talk about Lisa Vanderpump Rules. But it's a quick hit. It's about 45 minutes. It's good for driving, and it'll make you laugh. That's what we're going for. We're trying to make it. Have a good time and forget about your troubles on your way to work or coming home from work. So people seem to like it. Usually comes out on a Thursday or Friday. We're late this week because I've had so much going on with the Bruins and with the race and everything. So, but we'll get it out soon. And it's In the Drunk Tank with Brett and Larry. You can find it on iTunes. And you can I tell them my Twitter? And
Plug yourself up, man.
Yeah, and I want all you because I want all these Big Brother fans to like me because I want to go on Big Brother now.
They do like you. Trust me. See a lot of our supporters are like we're so Brett and Chris, and we love them.
I would not be angry if you were the first one to do the trifecta.
I would not be angry. I'm hoping you guys are because I think you guys would be great at Survivor. I really do, and I think that. I didn't know, like, Big Brother, I didn't think Big Brother would ever want me. You know what I mean? I just didn't think that I was, but more people say no. There's always someone that would fit in your demographic.
Yeah, you would be great. You would love it because it's kind of more chill. Like, you get to socialize. You get to use your social game and... It's like a little physical, like for like 15 minutes a week.
Yeah, there's only a couple competitions a week. Like it's not every day, you know.
Yeah,
well,
no,
that's more like Survivor too. Like you do a challenge, you get ready.
Those challenges are hard though, like balance and I mean,
like deprived of food and water.
Yeah, if you think those Yule Big Brother challenges would probably be a lot easier for you, which would be good. Whereas if we went on Survivor. It'd be like, oh God, these are so much harder because you're not, you get all the food and you get sleep and you guys are like competing on nothing.
Brett, I'll tell you, there's a whole pantry that gets restocked every Friday with all the food that you can imagine and cook and heat up.
Is there a gym or anything?
Outside in the backyard, have like a workout bench and some free weights and, you know, a couple things that you can,
So I've watched Celebrity Big Brother, which is not the same. I totally get it. And I've watched a little bit here and there, but I'm going to get engrossed in this season coming up. So
awesome.
I'm going to get really into it. So yeah. So if they want to follow me and I'd love to have them at Brett LaBelle. On Instagram and Twitter, one T, folks, just one T, Brett, B-R-E-T. You can follow me there. And please listen to it. Just give the In the Drunk Tank a try. If you listen to the first episode, it's pretty funny. I'm sure you'll get hooked. And Larry is probably, I know, Nick's my biggest fan. She thinks I'm funny. But Larry, my buddy Larry is probably the funniest person I've ever met in my life.
Really? I'm definitely going to take a listen.
We're going to give it a try. Yeah,
good. Well, listen, I can't thank you two enough because I really loved meeting you. I enjoyed every conversation I had with you guys along the way. And you two are just so cute. I love that you get married. And
Thanks, Brad.
It was meeting people like you made the race. So I just want to thank you. And thank you for having me on. And
we feel the exact same way.
Hey, the feeling is mutual, and I'm just sad that I don't get to watch you next week. You know,
but we get to see you soon. You're going to the finale party.
I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it. I'm going to go out and see Chris and his family for a couple of days in Oklahoma, and hopefully they don't get hit by a tornado or something. But we're going to drive. We're going to drive Chris's F-350 to Dallas. So
there you go, bro trip.
Yeah, bro trip.
Awesome.
Bro trip. So yeah, so you guys are gonna be there too. This is exciting.
Yeah, we'll get to see you and just hang out and have a good time. Yeah,
is anyone
when it's not
going?
Stressful. I think there people aren't going.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about it later.
No, but I guess I'll just close this out. Thank you so much, Brett.
Wait a minute. Time out. We got one more thing to talk about.
All right, go ahead.
I better not be a picture of Chris carrying my bags when you guys put this thing out. I want a nice tattoo to myself, all right? I was so mad. You'll be hearing from my attorney. Unfortunately, my attorney is Chris Hammond. So
that's so funny.
I think you'll think it's funny. I think you'll like it.
I'm just teasing. I love you guys. Whatever's good. I just had to bust them on you. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
All right. So can I close it out this time?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Bring us out, babe.
Thank you so much. The very fun, hilarious, and loving Brett LaBelle. Thank you for being on the show. And everybody listen, follow his socials, listen to his podcast. Mm-hmm. And I hope you guys enjoyed Brett as much as we did. We love talking
to him. He just literally makes me chuckle, like his voice and everything. I love him so much.
So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that. And now I'm going into the Spanish word of the day.
Okay.
All right. So the Spanish word of the day is vaso.
Vase. Boat.
Vaso.
I've heard this one before.
V-A-S-O.
Yeah, you've told me this vaso before. I think you've done this one literally, and I don't even still know it. Vaso.
It has to do with this episode.
Boat?
No, but you're in the right area.
Raft?
You're in the right part of the competition. Not necessarily the right thing.
Palm?
No. In the water.
So there's a boat, there's a tube, there's a rope, you're being pulled.
It doesn't necessarily have to be ours.
Oh, the gnome.
No.
Okay, what is it?
Cup. They had to find a cup and the coins.
Oh, they had to find the cup too?
They had to find a cup and 5 coins.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I can't believe I didn't know it wasn't a cup. I said vase, and then I remember it was something similar, holds water, like a cup.
Yeah, so okay. Vaso, V-A-S-O, means cup. And speaking of which, in Croatia, it was very beautiful. And people were asking, like, what time of year were we doing these challenges and were we at these places? Like in Switzerland, it was so beautiful. Croatia was so beautiful. It was in June and July. So if you guys ever want to take a trip to one of these places that we go to, for example, last episode, Croatia.
Those two were definitely June.
Yeah, that was June. Mm-hmm. So you can go to www.travelocity.com/amazingdestinations and they'll have all the places that we went to at all the best prices, and they make it extremely, extremely hassle-free for you to just go to these places and have fun. I mean, you can go tubing, but you don't have to read a poem while you go tubing.
Yeah.
And you can go snorkeling, but not for $1 million racing against somebody. Perfect time of year to go. I didn't know Split, Croatia was such an amazing like summer getaway destination.
Yeah.
If I could go back, I would, just because it was so nice. So again, you can go to www.travelocity.com/amazingdestinations and book your travel through them, and they'll make it hassle-free, best prices guaranteed.
Yeah, the boating was, or the tube was my favorite.
Yeah, I was telling your dad we need to get that tube.
Yeah, that was my favorite detour. So my favorite roadblock was definitely the elephants. My favorite detour, definitely this, because it was like so fun. Like, I like, even though I'm like screaming, like, ah, it's like, I like this.
Like, if we could just go back and like take that little poem out of the way and just have fun in the raft, I would.
Oh, I was still having a blast, though. That's the thing.
Oh, I wasn't. The thing is, I was.
You had to hold on to the poem.
Yeah, like whoever had to hold on to the poem had a harder time because you only have one hand and like locking your feet in. But no, it was still a good time. And I was telling Nicole, like, maybe we should not have worn our shoes.
Yeah, other people took their shoes off, which was
but
smart.
Luckily we didn't fall into the water, because then we would have been like, quick, quick, quick.
So we have some questions on my last post. I said, yeah, let us know what kind of questions you have. We answered a few already. So let's see. Okay. Were you told to recite the poem theatrically, or did everyone just do that on their own? Also, why did you and Vic get to each place after Tyler and Corey, despite leaving first? Cab driver, get lost. Okay. So we answered the cab driver didn't get lost. It was just kind of like a slower route.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Yeah, so we did have to like dramatize a little bit the poem. And that's mm-hmm. why everybody was kind of doing gestures or movements.
And when I'm thinking that though too, I think I would have done it regardless, because it helped me remember, like, when I reach up to the sky, I said something uh-huh. about flying high.
Yeah.
So it also... Thank goodness, because it helps.
It helps the memorization process.
Yeah, because you're more like dancing with the movements. And you're yeah. like, oh, this, if you can't remember what line comes next, you know what movement comes next. So.
Yeah, but in the clue, it said, you know, you had to recite the poem in like, I can't remember the exact words, but theatrically or dramatically, you know, give it yeah. with emotion,
or
I think it was.
Yeah. Did you think it was a good idea to work with Corey, even though working alone could have gotten you first place? Love watching you guys, rooting for you. And I love Coco Caliente podcast. Thank you. Yes, I thought it was a great idea to work with Corey. I think Corey is the smartest. He's so freaking smart. And like, knowing we're both ahead, it made sense to work together. And also, we were friends, and I didn't... Okay, so this is so weird to say, but I didn't care. Like, I wanted to get first, but it wasn't something that I was dwelling on. Getting second place was so awesome. And I was just happy not to be out of the race, because 4 hours ago I thought I was out. I was just kind of like, I'm just happy to be there. Let's work together.
Yeah.
And,
the only first place that matters is for the $1 million.
That's
if
what
we
I
get
kept
second
thinking.
Place up to mm-hmm. that point, you know, that, you know, we're happy with that. So no, it worked out perfectly.
Yeah. If you had to switch, this is a good one. If you had to switch partners, because they've done that before, I was thinking about that the whole time, with one other person, who would it be? So that's the first question. Want me to answer?
Go ahead.
So I always thought Christy and Colin would be perfect for us, because I would make like Vic go with Christy and I would go with Colin, because I felt like Colin and Victor, they're so strong, like, and they have like the same kind. You guys always do the same, roadblocks. I mean, Christy do the same roadblocks.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be great to like still keep the girl guy duo. So I thought it'd be cool to do that.
Like, as we balance each other out.
Yeah. And then also, I also thought like I would love to be with Corey, because he was just.
And they're two strong guys too. So that would be perfect.
So those were the teams like I was always thinking about, but I think had they given the chance, they probably would have done with each other. So I don't know. Like, it would have been fine, because everyone was really strong.
That would have
strong.
Been an interesting twist in the game. I mean, and at that point, at that part of the game, it, you know, when we're talking about the teams from last night or the other night, it wouldn't have mattered, actually, because all those teams are pretty strong. So if you would have swapped with anybody, it would have been fine, actually. And we were cool with all of them.
For
you know?
Sure. That's the thing, is it would have just been like cool. And I always thought, you know, I was like stressing about this because I knew it could happen. And I was like, oh my God, like, I have to like be on my A game, because I do not want like Colin yelling, like, getting mad at me because I suck. So I was also scared of switching partners, as cool as I thought it would be. I was like, well, I know Vic will forgive me, and like, I can talk to Vic how like I'm comfortable talking. But I almost think too, being a partner with someone you're not comfortable with could be really beneficial, because it makes you keep... You can't get emotional.
It keeps your composure.
Yeah.
You do what you got to do without the arguing or bickering.
Yeah,
because
you're just not comfortable enough to be like, come on.
Yep.
You know? Okay, two, what do you guys do after you hit the mat for the rest of the night? Just rest.
Yep, that's it.
Eat and rest. Who's the funniest nicest and loudest, etc., like teams. I feel like at this point we are all so close, you know, yeah. Like funniest, definitely Chris and Brett, I'd say.
I think so.
Yeah.
Either that or like, I think Corey was pretty funny.
Corey
too.
Is really funny. He's really good at, puns.
Yeah. He's very punny.
If you watch the show, he like is punning every second. I loved like, and we loved everyone. Team Fun was super. They were always doing like juggling acts. Christy and Colin were like,
Zen motivational, yes. But Colin was hilarious too, and so you know Christy could be funny too. Yeah, I mean everyone, everybody.
Yeah, it sounds like a very like cliche answer, everyone, but this is like such a good group that,
and there's not a lot of us at mm-hmm. this point. You know what I mean? So when you get down to that many people,
nicest, everyone is so nice. But do you know who the nicest person was that would continuous? Okay, Colin and Christy helped us a lot. And I think the nicest was Corey would always, I mean, he looked right at me and he's like, do you want to work together? He did not have to do that. Like,
yeah,
you know, and he could have lied to me about where his like prawns were,
mm-hmm.
which is also funny because we both memorized half and half and I only had one on my side and he had four. So he could have been like, oh, this is so annoying. Like, he could have switched it and I would have been like, that's reasonable. Like,
yeah.
And he just tells me the truth, like want to work together, you know? So it's weird how you form bonds. And then we didn't see Brett and Chris a ton that leg, but they were always so nice too. Like,
yeah.
It's just when you're in the race and you're kind of panicking or you need help and someone lends a hand, you do not forget it. And I'd say Corey did that the most to me in the race, like as a whole.
And also, you know, with the people that we had left in the race at this mm-hmm. point, even though we were racing at the airport or on a ride somewhere or whatever, you can ask anybody, hey, do you guys got a snack, you know, that I can have? Like, I'm hungry mm-hmm. and I'd like a snack or do you have this or that? And they'll
Christy
be willing.
Christy and Colin helped us so much with like caffeine. Like they had some,
a pre-workout to give you energy. But also,
that was nice of them. They could have been like, no.
They were just great. Everybody was just great.
We respected everyone so much and we were a family at that point. Okay. And then the last question we'll take is, which team were you guys most nervous about this far into the race? Or were you not that nervous of other teams?
Honestly, all the teams at all that point, you're Team Fun, really strong team. Teller and Corey, this is
really
what their fourth
team.
First place. Colin and Christy, really strong. Afghanimals,
strong. Even Brent and Chris,
yeah,
strong.
Yeah, they were in first place when they, you know, unfortunate that, you know, they got stuck at their, you know, detour, but still, like,
at this point, I'm feeling like we're rocky because we are really good, but it makes me nervous because everyone else has done it before and they're really good.
So, and I'm the balance to that because I don't have any doubt in my mind that Nicole and I will still, you know, be kicking it in high gear in this race and doing well.
Right.
Like, I have no doubt in that. So now we're going to wrap this up with the reviews. We're going to read our favorite reviews that we've seen recently. And like we always do, just because we appreciate you guys leaving them, it really helps us out, drives us to do this. And, I mean, it gets other people to watch, you know, listen to us too. So it mm-hmm. helps all around. So Nicole, take it away.
Okay. So, there's a lot of good ones, but I'm going to do, this one's called Such a Fun Show, 5 stars from Final Fantasy Lover 80. I love Nicole on both her seasons of Big Brother and enjoyed Victor as well, but seeing them on The Amazing Race cemented my respect for them. You guys are amazing. And so is your podcast. Nick and Vic have great chemistry and they offer unique insight into the current season of The Amazing Race that is unparalleled. I can't wait for the next episode.
Awesome sauce. I can't wait either. Trust me. All right. This one's called Forever Listening and it's from Tina. Absolutely love this podcast. I have been listening since the very first episode and I have never missed one. I love the way you interact with your guests and the way you have such a great time on the podcast. Not only do you listen to your guests, but you listen to each other. I wish you the very best on The Amazing Race. I am rooting for you both. Love, Tina.
Thanks, Tina.
Thank you.
And another
so
thing
much.
Too is thank you guys so much. We have 14.4, 14.5,
something like that.
Followers on Instagram. And we are so excited because we are starting to partner up with some people and do some giveaways. And congratulations to our Halo Top winners.
Yes. Yeah, they got 5 pints of ice cream each. So I was very happy that you guys submitted and were able to get that. And I think they just sent us pictures that they got their ice cream. So I hope you're enjoying it.
Yeah, so thanks so much for everyone just like coming together and in supporting this podcast. Because it's been really fun recapping the Amazing Race episodes. I've actually really loved it. It's become easy because it's something that we're kind of passionate about. We've been there.
And we're on it. We're watching it ourselves and like having to remember how that was. So
A year later, it's crazy.
Yeah, so it's been great. And everybody that's listening, driving in your car, at home, however you're listening, thank you so much. Really, we really appreciate you guys. And having said that, you can listen wherever you're listening now. You can also listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. And you can also go to our website, www.cococalientepodcast.com. You can listen there and also get some neat merchandise. But again, rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you guys so much, and we hope you enjoy.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.